Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildebrand here. Dan Rubenstein over there. SolidVerbal at gmail.com is our email address. Also, feel free to like our page and be our friend at facebook.com/solidverbal and follow us on Twitter at solidverbal. Daniel.
Yo.
What up?
Not much. How's it going, Ty? My voice is completely back, which feels good.
You got the pipes back
today.
Oh, it's biblically raining. It's horrible.
Yeah. I don't know about biblically here in New York, but it's really bad. It's not fun. But a beautiful weekend. Ate a lot of good food. Got outside and did some running. I'm feeling great. I feel terrific. I'm really excited for tonight's show, not any more than any other show, but I'm particularly excited to speak to Adam Kramer from
yes.
the Kegs and Eggs blogs and Bleacher Report. He is a very smart man when it comes to all things Vegas and college football. And the last time he came on, he did not get the full Solid Verbal experience.
That's right. That's right.
So now he gets both myself and you.
There it is. I have a bone to pick with you.
Hit me.
You have totally ruined the new Daft Punk Get Lucky song for me.
How did I do that?
You don't remember on the last show when we talked about coaches stripping?
Yeah.
And we discussed what song some of them might come out to, and you said a good Daft Punk song is a good stripping song.
Sure.
I heard that on the radio twice today. The
right.
only thing I can think of is someone or anyone dancing on a pole.
Be more specific, Ty. Who are you thinking about?
I'm not thinking of any coaches. I'm
That's
just saying,
a lie. That is a lie.
Every time I hear this song now, all I can think are strippers. And I'm not
it's
even
a,
in the strip
it's
club.
It's a song about staying up all night and humping.
I know what it's about, but it's got that uniquely bow chicka wow wow type of vibe to it.
Right.
Every time I hear it, I think like
that.
I know. Every time I hear it now, I'm thinking strip club. So thanks a lot. You ruined it.
You're welcome, because, listen, I fill your head with goodness. I don't know where I'm going with this. But, yeah, look, we go to weird places on this show, and things are going to get ruined for you, and you are going to be caught off guard, as you were when you were describing details about your freshman year in college. And this is what you signed up for. So I feel nothing but pride at this point.
Another source of pride for us is the fine job that folks did with our last secret verbal.
Oh, yeah, they did a great job.
That we gave out on Wednesday.
I got an email about that. I didn't tell you that.
So you got an email from Andy Staples about this.
An email from Andy Staples. Clay Travis eventually caught on. I was very confused. I guess he spent time away from Twitter. But then I was sending emails back and forth with Andy about something unrelated. And then he sent me a follow-up email. And he said he wasn't sure about how food that he was going to eat was going to mesh with his new vegan lifestyle. And thanks for that.
Yes.
So there you go. It is working. Our brains are now seeping into the subconscious and the crazy brains of others. And I like that. I'm a big fan of that.
Absolutely. So are we doing another one of those tonight, or do we want to push that off till Wednesday?
You don't want to overdo it. So maybe we'll see how Wednesday goes. If Wednesday goes to a weird place and we start rambling and asking each other hypothetical questions and finding out deeply personal things about each other, and it goes on and on and on, and then we're positive that nobody's still listening, even though the empirical evidence is that people do keep listening, then yeah, I feel like it would be a great time for a secret verbal.
All right. Well, on tonight's show, we're very pleased to welcome Adam Kramer from Bleacher Report and Kegs and Eggs to the program.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone out there saw, but the Golden Nugget, a casino in Las Vegas, a sports book in Las Vegas, let out a list of about 250 college football lines.
Right.
We're going to have him on the program here momentarily to discuss some of those lines, what they mean, how to interpret them, how to bet them.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Has anything been happening in college football that has excited you, Ty?
You know, not really. I mean, the Eddie Vanderdoss situation is pretty much over now.
Right.
I mean, he's no longer at Notre Dame. I saw Brian Kelly came out and said Tommy Rees is a starter, but we all sort of knew that anyway.
Danny O'Brien's done at Wisconsin.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny O'Brien done. That's been a strange tale.
Harvey Updike's getting out of jail.
Also has a new look, doesn't he?
He's got a stash, I believe.
Yeah.
So there's that. USC made a fake offer to an eighth grader, which is not a real offer.
Why does he do that?
It's so dumb. I mean, it's not just we've seen LSU and Alabama do that. It's basically to say, we really love you as a really, really young person, and know that we were the first ones that loved you in case you turn out to keep improving and get really good and become an elite prospect. And if not, we're not obligated to offer you anything.
It just seems creepy from the outside in, doesn't it?
It is a bit skeezy, yes. Florida State receiver got arrested. I want to say Greg Dent.
Yeah, Greg Dent.
On a sexual assault charge. Nothing you like to see.
No.
From anybody, but especially young persons trying to become adults. You see how I say young persons like I'm 83 years old?
I like that. The plural of the person.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Yeah. The youths. But yeah, I mean, it's June. It's a slow time. We have NCAA football 14 coming out next month.
Oh, we got to get that interview lined up.
So that's going on, and I'm actually like officially reviewing that game for a major video game website, and I'm terribly nervous.
Ooh,
yeah, we're partners at SB Nation with Polygon, and they don't really have like a sports guy or like a football guy, whatever the case may be. They asked me to review that game, so I play the NCAA football series not as obsessively as I used to, but I have a very good idea for it. So here's what I'm going to ask the listeners to do for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to take advantage of this position that I have people's ears. Tell me what you are looking for as for improvement in the 2014 edition. That's what I want to know so I can look for it in this game and educate.
Can we do a secret verbal in your video game review?
Sure. Absolutely. I can work any word into anything. Right. Well, I would
hesitate to
use the word cunnilingus in a video game review, but outside of that, I'd be pretty good.
All right. Well, we're going to think that one up. I'll come up with something for you.
Something must have piqued either one of our interests. No? Nothing? Bill Connolly's previewing games for SB Nation?
I've been reading all of them from Bill and Paul Meyerberg as well.
I'm going to make a recommendation as a company man. You don't have to listen to me if you don't want to because this company pays me. But our friend Spencer Hall interviewed Art Briles, and it's really good. It's really fun, and he tells stories, and Art Briles is basically a Friday Night Lights character. So okay. I enjoyed that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic of literary works, Dan.
Yeah.
I want to bring this up. The fine folks over at Amazon wanted us to make mention of the book Doc.
Yeah.
D-O-C. You know a guy by the name of Doc Gooden, Dan?
Absolutely.
Well, I know we're a college football show, but as you know well, Dan, in the mid-'80s, no pitcher was more feared or more dominant than the young Dwight Doc Gooden. His first season, he wins the Rookie of the Year award. His second, he wins 25 games, the Triple Crown of pitching, and the most prestigious of all, the Cy Young Award. Then in 86, that's when things changed. The Mets win the World Series in 86. Instead of celebrating at the ticker tape parade with his teammates, he watches them on TV because he's bleary-eyed, drunk, and high. And then for the next 25 years, he battles alcoholism, drug addiction, all sorts of bad stuff as his life and career essentially spin out of control. So the book, again, is Doc by Dwight Gooden. In this book, Doc shares his most intimate moments, from all his successes to all his failures, from three World Series rings to endless self-destructive drug binges. He's being brutally honest in this memoir. Again, it is Doc, written in conjunction with Ellis Hennekin. It's a story of family, baseball, of talent squandered by the disease of addiction, and of the long road to getting clean. Doc is a riveting baseball memoir by one of the game's most fascinating figures, and an inspiring story for anyone who has faced a tough challenge in life. Again, that is Doc. You can order your copy today from Amazon.com.
Also, fun fact, my mom calls my dad Doc.
Oh.
There was a brief period in high school where the Dodgers were terrible and the Mets were talking about like Yoshi? you know this era I'm talking about.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
absolutely.
I got really into watching the Mets just because it was such a, I think Robin Ventura was on those teams.
Sure.
And
you
it
think,
was when
by the way,
I
are you thinking of Masato Yoshi?
Masato Yoshi, yeah. I picked him up on my fantasy league in high school, and he started one season out like 8-0 with like a 0.39 ERA. Yep. In any case, I've liked the Mets casually because that's the only way you can like the Mets. And just even going back to the Doc Gooden early day when I was just a youth, Ty.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed the Gooden, Strawberry, Hernandez, all that fun. So I
cool.
read the book.
All right, Dan, joining us now. He was on once before, but not when I was here. So I'm looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. Mr. Adam Kramer from Bleacher Report and Kegs and Eggs. Mr. Kramer, welcome aboard. How are you?
It is great to be back. It is great to get the full group here as well. So, always good to talk to you guys.
I'm going to blindside you here. I know you're a Jets fan. How do you feel about Tim Tebow in New England?
Oh, God. I feel like that just sums it up for everybody. Like, oh, God, and sort of just fizzles away. And he's probably going to end up, like, scoring 3 touchdowns against the Jets and making a play on special teams and trolling America like his coach Bill Belichick. So another solid day in Jets fandom.
Is there going to be some sort of weird Vegas line for how many touchdown passes he throws this year?
Yes. Yeah, they were taking bets on whether he would find it. This is actually a real prop bet, whether he would sign on to a team or lose his virginity first. That was an actual prop bet that an online book was taking this year. So I'd say touchdown tosses will be likely. I saw someone tweet out that the Patriots' odds for the Super Bowl have not changed, which was, I think, a joke.
Right.
I assume a joke. I don't really know. But, yeah, you will find all sorts of Tebow prop bets now that he is back in the league.
I can't wait. All right. Well, we brought you on to talk about the Golden Nugget releasing about 250 college football point spreads for the 2013 season. You have them all listed on your site, again, kegsandeggsblog.com. And
May I interject?
Yeah.
Adam, do you wager your own money on college football?
You know, it's funny. I used to much more. And as I've gotten into the world of college football now, I've sort of just become a guy that talks about wagering on college football It's very hard to do it without, you know, any sort of bias. If you're covering
right.
the game and you have money, you're just going to be, like, bitter the whole time if things are not going your way. So now, more or less, I follow the odds to an obsessive degree
right.
only because I like to see what people are doing and why lines are a certain way.
That's totally fair. Ty, I apologize for interrupting. Continue.
I was going to say, what's your general feel after looking at these lines? I mean, are there teams out there that you look at and say, they're really being overvalued, or are there others you're saying, wow, they seem to be undervalued at this juncture? How do you read this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just a little background on these. This has become like a tradition of sorts each year around this time, you know, releasing lines. The thing was, you know, it started off as like a handful of games before like the online sports books exploded. And, you know, in time, it's sort of grown. I think last year, it was about half the size that it is now. So now, of course, with the interest that it gets and the way that they can market this, they're just basically giving you almost every game possible. So, yes, a lot of these games aren't going to happen for months. Some, like November, where, you know, injuries, roster, you name it, will be strange. So keep that in mind when you look at them. But for me, I think the first thing you have to look at is just Alabama. Of course, like we would go anywhere else. I'm not surprised that Vegas loves them in every game. I'm just you look at like the numbers that they're favored by and just how much they are. You know, an average of point spread of 22.5, and in SEC play in the 8 games, that number is about 3 touchdowns. So, again, I'm not shocked, but I'm just sort of in awe of, one, how they're a public team, and two, how they're just a football machine. So the combination of such has made them into this unbelievable gambling machine. I believe if the season goes through as is, it will be like 53 games straight that they'll have been favored in, which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, and speaking of public teams, it's worth noting that Texas is another team favored in every game. And I was actually going to ask you whether it's a similar situation to Alabama. I think Notre Dame probably falls in the same
yep.
category. Certainly in the NFL, everyone knows the Cowboys fall under this umbrella. But you're talking about teams that are very public. And because Vegas knows a lot of people are going to be on those teams, the spread is somewhat artificial. Is that the deal with Texas and why they are favored in all these games?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Texas is up there in the public team, certainly in that, I'd say, that top three. I'd say Alabama, Notre Dame and even Texas now, despite the fact that they're not the Texas of old is up there. You know, the other thing about, I think these lines, and this was the case last year, it's even harder this year, is you could just tell that evaluating the Big 12 is difficult because of all the talent that has gone through there the past few years. You know, you look at teams like Baylor and Kansas State and Oklahoma, they're sort of swing teams, you know, just to name a few. Texas offensively is going to be really good. I know the running joke is, you know, that they're back, and no, they're not back, and they won't be for a while. But defensively, they're probably going to be a dumpster fire still, but it may not matter. They're probably going to just outscore most of the teams that they play.
When you look at the teams and you look at the lines, who jumps out to you as being a team that the odds makers value in a completely different or a surprising way than you had going into the release of these lines?
The one that really jumped out, and this is the thing, I'm not sure if it's right or wrong, because I'm sort of high on them too, but when I saw this, I was sort of taken aback, is Oklahoma State. Again, I keep going back to the Big 12 as like that conference that we're trying to figure out, but you know, opening up as a 2-touchdown favorite against Mississippi State, a team who's, you know, who's not bad, and 2 touchdowns for a team without a quarterback, you know, 9 points over Kansas State, 10 points over TCU, you know, 14 points over Iowa State. Kansas, that line can be whatever you want it to be, but it's at 29. The only game, Texas, where Texas is a 6.5-point favorite. So I like Oklahoma State a lot. I was just surprised with the magnitude and just the sheer size of some of those numbers.
Who are you buying early on? Which numbers stood out to you as, like, that's definitely going to come down or that's definitely going to go up? I need to get on that. Which is a weird phrasing, I realize. I need to get on that. But who jumps out to you?
No, that's it's a perfect for gambling, I think. A line that actually moved that I liked from the get-go was Arizona State over Wisconsin. That was pick'em. I'm a little bit higher on Arizona State than most, I think, this year. And that line has since moved to 3. That was a game I really liked just because that is a tough trip for a Wisconsin team that, again, growing cross country and an Arizona State team that I value a little bit more. So I thought that one was a good jump. You know, some of the others, I still think you're getting good value with Alabama, less than a touchdown against A&M. I'm sort of in that Bama craze. I think, you know, A&M certainly can keep it close. But when you're getting less than that with Alabama at this point, with the team and the talent they have returning, I think you have to jump on it because you likely won't have it for long.
You mentioned Oklahoma State and liking Oklahoma State, and they open up as a couple touchdown favorite against Mississippi State, not a bad team from last season. What have you gleaned from certain conferences, perhaps, early on? Obviously, the SEC has been given a huge amount of respect in their ability to get by teams. But conference-wise, what do you think the early lines have said?
You know, the conference that I'm Big 12, I'm sort of just trying to figure out. The other team that sort of elevates a conference to me, and as a whole, is the ACC. You know, Miami getting a lot of love. I wrote last week a column about them in some of the futures betting, how they're about 25-1 to win the national championship, and they have an easy road because of their division. But you look at some of these lines, you know, only a 2.5-point dog to Florida early on. That's a really intriguing game.
See, and I was arguing with Dan about that game. We argued about that on G-Chat earlier this week.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of guys beforehand. We were trying to figure it out. I said 3 for Florida, and some of the other people, I thought they thought maybe Miami would be favored. I mean, that is a team that people are trying to wrap their head around because kind of like Texas, offensively is it could be really, really good. Defensively, it's just going to be, oh, my God, probably bad. But that may be enough. But you look at that. I mean, 10-point favorite over South Florida, touchdown favorite over Georgia Tech. Clemson certainly getting some love. That first game against Georgia is one that's been all over the board, though. I mean, Clemson was a 4-point favorite. Now Georgia, a 3.5-point favorite. So ACC is a conference, and Florida State, too, again, getting some respect from the odds makers. I think the ACC got a little bit more love than I thought they would have got going in.
When we went through these initially, I'm going to come back to this Florida game, but we went through these initially just at first glance, and there were two games that jumped out to me. The first was that Florida game, September 2nd. It's at Miami. Florida, a 2.5-point road favorite. Florida is supposed to be better this season, and I know Miami is too, but 2.5 feels low to me. And I fall. Dan makes fun of me because I fall into this trap every season. I always fall into the same road favorite trap, right? Where it's like, oh, you're getting them at a discount, right? And you really never are because, well, Vegas does this for a living. So you talk to people who thought maybe Miami should be favored in that game?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple
okay.
of people who were really, I mean, Miami is one of those teams that's just tough to evaluate, and Florida, maybe even more so, because defensively they lose a lot, obviously. Offensively, they don't gain much. That's my biggest worry. So in terms of matchup-wise, I don't think Miami's going to be able to just sort of light them up all day, but that's a game where Florida's going to have to score, and I just don't know if they can. So that team in general, I think, is just problematic. The other thing, while we're on Florida a little bit, switching gears to them, you get a sense that their schedule is just it's brutal. I mean,
yeah.
You're a 2.5-point favorite against Miami. You know, you're a big chalk against Kentucky, sure, and Tennessee, a game that, I don't know, it could be a little tougher than people think, but you've got LSU on there. You've got to go to Missouri, a game that won't be easy. You've got Georgia. You've got Florida State. You've got South Carolina, games that they're either short favorites in or, you know, dogs in. I mean, that schedule for that team, I just think is absolutely, you know, just brutal, amplified by when you see the odds.
The other one that I wanted to point out, it's an October game. It's in-state college. Michigan on the road at Penn State, only a 2.5-point favorite. Now, I follow Penn State pretty closely. I know Michigan's supposed to be better. I don't know if you can say that about Penn State. They've got a lot of questions.
Yeah, Penn State is a team. It's a little bit of the Bill O'Brien factor, I think.
Yeah.
Saying, like, you know, Matt McGloin looked awesome last year, so just throw whatever back there. I think there's a little bit of that. Now, Penn State getting some love. 6.5 points against Syracuse is a pretty strong line to start the year. The Michigan line, I agree with you. That's a really strong number. Ohio State, of course, they're a 16-point dog, but, you know, being played in the horseshoe, that's not so much of a surprise. And then, of course, Wisconsin late at 9. I think Penn State's a really intriguing team just to see how they're going to respond. But, again, another team that offensively is going to be able to put up some points, so you figure they can score. 13.5-point favorite over Purdue. I know I like to make fun of Purdue, but that's a big number. A lot of respect by Vegas, and then perhaps the most telling of them all, in my opinion, Nebraska against Penn State, a pick 'em game. I mean, that's a game, if Penn State's offense is right, you could see just a ton of points.
My kryptonite is always the road favorite. I've fallen into this trap every year. Dan always makes fun of me. I keep coming back to this, but it's really been my MO. There are a lot of options here if you fall into a similar trap. This could potentially be a bloodbath season for a lot of bettors out there. There are so many games where there are going to be road favorites with name brand teams.
Those numbers, those shorts, 2.5 to 3.5 numbers. The game that jumped out to me, Louisville, just a 3-point favorite at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In December.
Yeah.
That's a game, you know, last year, Louisville played at Syracuse, and Vegas made them like a 1-point favorite, and they were unbeaten. They looked unstoppable. And we said all week, like, that doesn't seem all that right. And sure enough, Syracuse just blew them out. Now, different scenario here. Cincinnati should be okay. But that's a game, as a short, you know, road favorite, that you're looking at saying, man, oh, man, if the Louisville schedule plays the part and Teddy Bridgewater just dismantles anybody, one, is that line going to be 3? Are you getting a steal at 3? Or 2, is it setting up to the point where you just want to run as far away as fast as you can? Because to me, those short numbers, those are the sucker bets. Not necessarily that game specifically, but when a home dog is getting some love for Vegas and you see that ranking come in, like a top 10 ranking, and they're there, and everyone says, oh my God, this is easy, I don't care if they're on the road. Usually, those are the games where everything just blows up in their face and Vegas just makes a ton of money from it.
You mentioned, actually, before I get into what you mentioned, I'd like to point out that it is early June and we're talking about betting lines for October and November.
It's
just
the off season.
In case anybody's listening in August and thinks we're insane. You mentioned the Georgia Clemson game and the swing of the line from Clemson to Georgia. Where have been the biggest reactions, the biggest swings since these initial lines were released?
Well, the, that one's big only because that's a really hard game to figure.
Right.
The other one that was tough was, you know, some of the online books were releasing games before this. So you had games at like Five Dimes and other, some of these books who were trying to get their name out there. The Alabama-Virginia Tech game was like all over the place. I mean, it settled at 17 at Golden Nugget, but that was up to, you know, 24 and a half. You saw almost four touchdowns in some spots. That has been like by far the toughest game, I think, for them to evaluate. In terms, if you're looking for that middling opportunity people talked about, well, you probably won't be able to get it there, depending on where your money went. But you can bet both sides at different shops there, and maybe do okay. But I think it just shows what a unique game it is. It's not like Alabama's playing like little, you know, take a paycheck program. It's Virginia Tech, albeit a down Virginia Tech team, and an Alabama team that just Vegas wise is sort of an unprecedented chalk. So for me, that's been just the most bizarre, only because of the varying opinions out there on the internet.
Can you quantify how much Las Vegas absolutely abhors and hates the University of Illinois and Urbana-Champaign? I'm seeing Illinois as a 19-point underdog at Penn State on November 2nd. Ty, who's Penn State's quarterback?
That is an excellent question.
I have no idea. And yet, they're thought of to be an almost 3-touchdown better team, scholarship reduction, turnover, and everything over the University of Illinois.
It's like Vegas is just rounding up, essentially.
Vegas is rounding up. I mean, how often does this happen? How much do you anticipate this line swinging without actually having knowledge of how good Penn State or Illinois is or is not?
Yeah, Illinois, you know, an 11-point dog at home to a Washington team traveling across the country. A Washington team who should be pretty good, albeit. But, you know, Ohio State, 23, that line doesn't surprise you. Northwestern is a 13-point favorite playing on the road. That number is a little bit bigger than you'd think it would be, certainly. Yeah, not a lot of love there. You look at Iowa, which it sort of pains me to say this, but that whole Kinnick mystique seems to be leaving. Michigan State. 9-point favorite at Iowa. I mean, that's a line that a few years ago you'd sort of jump out of your chair, but now you're sort of like, I sort of see why that is now. Northwestern, a 12-point favorite over Iowa. So the bottom of the Big Ten, I think, teams like Illinois and Iowa who are featured in these games because of who they're playing, not necessarily everybody's jumping in line to bet Illinois and Iowa games, but because of their competition, there's some big numbers there. You're not necessarily shocked by Illinois, but still maybe the size of them you are. With the Iowa stuff, you're a little bit surprised that a team that is absolutely Vegas has loved them at home no longer, at least not right now.
I'm looking at future odds, looking at odds to win the national championship. I don't know if you have or don't have this in front of you, but how deep will you go when you consider value? Where is the value when you look at future odds? I see USC down around 50, 60 to 1. Oklahoma's down there. Notre Dame obviously dropped there after Everett Golson. We have seen years and years past a school like Auburn come from out of nowhere to win the national championship because of an unknown quantity like Cam Newton. But when you look at this year's crop, how deeply will you go down and say, you know what? Weirder things have happened. That might be a weird pick, but I kind of like it.
You know, the weird pick for me, and there's not many. I mean, you look at the odds board, and it's, you look at the teams there, and you say, well, what has to happen for them not to be there, a group of teams? You know, Alabama, I think, sort of changes how you bet these all together,
right,
the way they've been, you know, dominating. But still, there's value to be had. I think the weird team for me, and I usually don't go this far down, is TCU. At 66 to 1.
Interesting.
They were actually at 100 to 1 when
right.
they opened up, which I thought was really good value, rare value for a team like that. And they're interesting to me only because, again, I get back to the Big 12. I think there's a bit of unknown there. The defense is going to be really, really good. Casey Ballhall is back, kind of a wild card. I just think there's so much potential upside to a team that this bet will probably come crashing down because they're going to be too young and the schedule doesn't set up all that well. But when you're getting 66 to 1 on something like that with a lot of good and some really, really good players and the potential there, I think that makes a lot of sense. But for the most part, it's really hard to find value once you get out of that 25 to 28 to 1 range, and I think that's even pushing it because of just how good and how favorable some of the schedules are for these teams at the top.
All right, and when you look at the teams that you feel like have a more realistic shot to make you money, and we'll call them below Alabama, where is the actual value in teams within striking distance of actually winning the national championship?
I think Oregon at 7-1 is still a really nice bet. I think it's rare you have 7-1 with an offense that good. Now, granted, that's not great value, 7-1, but it's better than the 3-1 you're going to get on Alabama. LSU, you know, at 18-1, it's just, you don't know. You just don't know the team. I think Florida at 20-1, not great value. A lot of this stuff comes down to scheduling. Now, Clemson at 25-1, when you move down a little bit more, that's pretty good. Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins, if he stays healthy, the defense is eh. But playing in an ACC schedule that starts tough with Georgia, ends tough with South Carolina, but in between, they're going to win a lot of games. So that's where you have to look for something like this. A lot of it isn't talent. It's scheduling. It's trying to avoid those landmines, which is almost impossible to do. But I think there is some value to be had. A team like Louisville to me is interesting as well. That almost certainly should go undefeated, except if, you know, Vegas has their way in Cincinnati. But at 22-1, are they going to even be worth that bet because the schedule is so bad? I think that's where this stuff gets really, really tough.
Here on the Solid Verbal, we have this sound.
Lock of the week.
All right, perhaps a bit dramatic for early June. However, as you look out upon this slate that the Golden Nugget has given us, do you have an early June lock? I have an early June lock, but I want to know if you do.
You're talking about any week?
Any game, yeah.
Yes, I will go with the game. I like them more at 7, but I really like TCU against LSU. I'm going to ride that TCU train until I crash it miserably into a fiery death here. It's just a game that I'm actually almost happy to see that Vegas is liking TCU. That number was at 7 in other places. It was up to 8 even, and now down to 4. I just am really high on that TCU team, and especially against LSU. They're going to be really good. They're going to be rebuilt probably by the middle of that season, but with so many new faces in that opener, I think that's a time where they're actually vulnerable. So I'll ride with TCU there.
I'm going to throw one out there for the fine folks listening at home.
Yeah.
The date is Saturday, October 26th.
Mm.
Notre Dame heads to Air Force. Now, according to this early line, they're an 18-point favorite on the road against Air Force. Now, Notre Dame should beat Air Force. However, it is the week after they have USC at home. Regardless of what happens in that game, you gotta go Air Force. There's just Notre Dame's head will not be in that game. Air Force runs the quirky offense. From time to time, Notre Dame has trouble with that type of system. I would bet the house on Air Force there.
Notre Dame is an interesting team in general. I mean, last year they did not handle big point spreads very well, obviously, in some of the games that they almost lost. But I was very interested while we're on Notre Dame, and I agree with you there, by the way, because it's sort of a unique situation that you're looking to try and pick your spot. But, boy, Vegas still likes Notre Dame quite a bit, and some of that is the fact that they have that Notre Dame thing going for them, that they are Notre Dame. But I was a little bit surprised, to be honest, to just see how much love they're getting, despite the fact that we really don't know who's going to be doing things for them on offense.
One of the things that's really interesting, a listener of ours named Chase Stewart over at footballperspective.com was able to take all of these point spreads and make some further assumptions. Now, the Golden Nugget didn't handicap every game, but it handicapped enough games for Chase to figure out point spreads for almost any game. So, for example, Alabama would be about a 3.1-point favorite over Oregon. And what he found is that if you compare Florida to Notre Dame, Florida versus Notre Dame on a neutral site, according to early lines, again, implied, but Florida only a 1-point favorite over Notre Dame. Clemson would be about a pick'em. Same with Ole Miss. Ole Miss is pretty high on this. Stanford is pretty close to Notre Dame. So you're right. I saw that too and thought the same thing. Wow, even with all the turmoil now with the Notre Dame quarterback situation, it still does seem like Vegas likes him pretty much.
And again, this is nothing unusual. I mean, even in like the Charlie Weiss darkest days of that, they were always getting bet and getting respect because of who they are. But, you know, I don't know. I like a game like Michigan, for example, the Michigan game, which at Michigan, pick 'em. I'm surprised that Michigan isn't favored in that game.
Yeah,
I mean, that to me is like Michigan playing in their house in a game last year, which I think killed offensive football. that I mean, to me, they should be favored. Just, you know, 6-point favorite Notre Dame over Michigan State, again, another game I think that could kill offensive football. That it just seems aggressive of sorts. 4-point favorite over Arizona State. I cannot wait for that game, by the way, in Texas. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I guess not really that surprising, but given what has happened, we know the defense is going to be really good, but that's about it. A little bit surprised to see all the Notre Dame love.
I'm looking at the list of Heisman favorites and the odds associated with various quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers. I am not an expert on gambling, so I am asking you, is there a way that I can bet against Jeff Driskel winning the Heisman?
Yes.
Is there a way in which I can monetize that platform that I am taking?
Here's the interesting thing about the Heisman, and I would throw out first rule of Heisman betting is don't bet Jeff Driskel.
Right.
And the second rule of that is probably don't bet the favorite. I went back and did some research on this. Now, granted, prop bets have come a long way in about 5 years. But you try and find a favorite who's done well, and it really hasn't. You look at the favorites last year, Matt Barkley, Monte Ball, Denard Robinson, in that order, you know, woof. That just did not go well. Now, granted, this year you feel a little bit differently going into it. You have Johnny Manziel, I think, as a deserving favorite, Braxton Miller right behind, and you look at that schedule and you say, oh, Braxton Miller should be there. But there's value to be had in Heisman betting, I think, versus anything else. There's so much that goes into it that really isn't football-related, the politics of it, the marketing of it, you know, in general. But again, looking at schedules, looking at guys that have that buzz early and who's going to be doing well, I look at a guy like Marcus Mariota at 16-1. I can't believe he's 16-1. Taj Boyd, who's also 16-1. I mean, those are guys to me, if you're thinking about betting the Heisman, you say, well, these guys are probably going to put up ridiculous numbers. And if they can avoid maybe a few losses, especially Clemson, if they can avoid Clemsoning, I think Taj Boyd has just a great chance to be there.
All right, and when you look at, is there a situation, do you have situational theories? Everybody likes to talk about the Thursday night home games and weird things happen on Thursday nights. Will you, even if you're not yourself betting money, are there certain situations that you will tend to stay away from that really make you uneasy when you look at lines?
It's just that Vegas, I've learned over the years that, and it's not necessarily any specific trends like, you know, they're favored for the third time in a week as a road. I mean, there's so many numbers and statistics you can look at it.
Right.
But when Vegas makes a stand, I'll never forget this last year. When West Virginia last year looked unbeatable, you know, Geno had won the Heisman in week five or whatever, and they were going to Texas Tech. And, you know, that line was way shorter. Everyone was thinking, oh, West Virginia's going to roll. And I think that line was about 2. And everyone, of course, bet West Virginia and Texas Tech just absolutely rolls. There's certain games like that where you either need to stay away, you look at it, and you say, why is a line a certain way? If it is a certain way, it's probably that way for a reason. So in those cases, you just have to take the other side or you have to sit out. Because Vegas, as it turns out, is pretty good at this.
Ty, do you know who took Texas Tech last year?
I have no idea.
I did. That is who took Texas Tech.
No idea.
I just wanted to throw that in there. When you look at how teams are being valued, we talked about things you didn't understand, things that you agreed with. When you look at this, who really piques your interest as a team that it seems like Vegas might know something that everybody else doesn't?
You know, outside of you've got to first sift through the Alabama. I keep getting back to Alabama only because they're really changing the way you approach the futures. I'm surprised a little bit that LSU is a team like 18-1 and also getting some love in some of the lines as well, in some of the regular season lines. That's a team that, again, is losing a lot, but there's also this assumption that outside of Alabama, LSU is sort of that football factory, that they're going
right.
to just keep having players in. And they're probably right, but and also a brand like LSU will get a little bit public love as well. But you know, a team like Miami, I'll get back to them. 28-1 to win the national championship. I mean, Miami, that's a team when the odds first came out, you sort of look around, you say, that Miami? I mean, Duke Johnson, a guy he's in the top 10, same Heisman odds as Clowney. I mean, that's a little bit surprising. So just up and down, whether it's future betting or the point spreads or Heisman betting, all across because of their schedule and perhaps because Vegas thinks that the NCAA will eventually just kind of go away in this situation. Miami is a team that is just getting a ton of love.
I have a bunch of rules that I personally try to follow that I've developed, I guess, over the last 5 years since the beginning of our show here. My biggest one, though, is never to bet on road favorites. Do you have a rule that I know you don't bet your own money, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but if you were to bet your own money, would there be one rule, one cardinal rule that you would follow above all else?
Yes. Don't bet anything.
At all?
Clemson.
Clemson, okay.
I avoid Clemson at all costs. Clemson is a team that over the years has just destroyed me in every way possible. It is a strange rule, but it is a rule that I stick to, even though I broke it last year. In terms of picking them on our handicapping podcast, it is a team that just has my number. There are certain teams that have your number. For college, it is Clemson. For the NFL, it is the Tennessee Titans. Those teams, I avoid at all costs.
That sounds totally reasonable to me, actually. I specifically ended our discussion last time you were on because you are kegs and eggs, and I'm not a beer person. I'm not a huge beer person. I am a big egg person, so we went through egg power rankings last time. I'm gonna go with a follow-up to that. What are your meal power rankings? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
It's funny. I just had this discussion yesterday over a delicious breakfast,
mm-hmm.
a Mexicana skillet, which was very good.
Love it.
I'm very close between dinner and breakfast. Lunch is out for me. Lunch is
really?
Just sort of like midday food.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm not eating a good lunch. It's on time. It's all over the place. It's usually just kind of piecemeal together. So I have to say, I'm probably going to go with breakfast, and I'm going to make a more conscious effort, I think, in the next year or so to try and up the ante a little bit, because I find myself wanting breakfast foods at pretty much all hours of the day.
Totally reasonable to me.
Yeah. Dan, what's your ranking? Do you have a ranking?
See, mine's controversial probably in the eyes of Adam. I go lunch, breakfast, dinner. I don't know if it's necessarily because lunch falls in the middle of the day, but because of the foods that are associated with lunch, your sandwiches, your tacos, things of that nature, I find myself gravitating and thinking. I find myself thinking about lunch more than any other meal. You get to work, you're like, oh, what am I going to do for lunch? And I don't know, maybe it's because of where I live. I have all sorts of options, but lunch first because of the sandwich factor, breakfast because it is the meal after which I have not eaten for the most hours, and then dinner. So I wake up hungry, I go to work hungry, and then dinner is just sort of like it's a more formal experience, and you have to deal with people sometimes you don't want to deal with at dinner time.
Yes.
I go with lunch, breakfast, dinner. Ty, where do you stand?
See, I'm kind of weird, as I'm sure you already know.
Right.
I prefer breakfast foods for other meals.
Yep.
So like for what, me specifically,
I like a good omelet. I can eat an omelet for lunch. I could eat an omelet for dinner. It doesn't need to be at breakfast. So breakfast, just that time of day eating, I know it's supposed to be good for the metabolism and whatever
right.
else. I'd probably put that last on my own personal power ranking. I'd probably go dinner by a nose over lunch. So I go
okay.
Dinner, lunch, breakfast in that order. But I'll take breakfast foods really at any time of the day.
Adam, let me follow
dinner,
this
dinner, too,
up.
Has, like, the highest ceiling. I mean, dinner, you can really – your options are endless,
right.
I think.
True.
When you throw in, like, the meat factor and just some of the other items in terms of restaurants and everything. So, like, that – it has the highest ceilings. But usually when you're doing that, it's your wallet, just take it and light it on fire, which I think factors in. But breakfast, you can manufacture a really good breakfast pretty easily and without wasting much time either.
Now, do you experiment a lot with your breakfast?
I am a diner guy, so like
right.
I'll cook the eggs, and See, I can do it very simple with the right types of hot sauce and just sort of the right concoction of eggs. That is, I can be very pleasant with that and just let's do it. But no, I am like a diner fan of give me.
So you want frittata?
No, I can dabble.
Sure.
But I like the uncomfortably spicy, typically. I'll lean towards that in breakfast. Anything you can give me that will make me look like I'm having a heart attack at the table because I'm sweating profusely, I want to eat that.
Do you feel like you're a breakfast completist? Have you traveled internationally and experienced breakfasts overseas?
A little bit. I've been to Brazil and had breakfast, did a little bit in Europe. I honestly can't say that anything stands out there. I was like, I need to do that. No, I am more of the, I'm out of town. This place looks fabulous, even though it really doesn't look fabulous. The best diners are the ones that, you know, should terrify you.
The health department should shut them down.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are usually the places I like to pick out.
Well, right, because the name of your blog is Kegs and Eggs,
yeah.
Let me address the kegs portion of that before we let you go.
Yes.
I saw a question posted by the local radio station here in the Philadelphia area asking whether or not it was acceptable for men to drink and enjoy Bud Light Lime. Do you have any opinions on that? Where do you stand on Bud Light Lime for men?
I've had it, absolutely. I'm not a fan. I'm not going to say it's against code. I just, if you like it, that's fine. I just feel like you're really depriving yourself of some really good things. So it's, you know, everybody has different tastes, and a Bud Light every now and then is fine. But there are some really good beers out there. I was never, you know, necessarily, you know, when I turned 21, I wasn't ready to, like, explore all the great beers. I don't think anyone was.
No.
As I've gotten older and don't really go out anymore and do anything fun, you explore, like, all those good beers. And I feel like if you're having that Bud Light Lime, you're just, man, you are just missing out on some really good things.
So if the keg isn't BLL, what's in the keg then over at Kegs and Eggs?
Well, you know, a cheapish keg is fine. But I am, you know, I'm near Wisconsin now. I've got to give a shout out to some of my friends up north here. Spotted Cow, New Glarus. It's a local brewery in Wisconsin. And I know when I put this on Twitter, like, all the Wisconsin people just go crazy because this beer is great. We need to find a way to get you guys some Spotted Cow.
That'd be great.
Because this beer is life-changing. So, and then also just some of the local stuff, Gumball Head, which is a great, there's like a local Indiana brewery here that makes local stuff called Gumball Head. So I'm not a beer snob. I'll drink anything you want to give in front of me, but the more I like some of these, more I have of some of these local stuff, the more I like.
I just looked up Gumball Head in Urban Dictionary, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing. Shame on you, America. Shame on you.
A much different interpretation, I presume?
I have no idea. Yes.
All right. Well, again, his name is Adam Kramer. You can find his fine work over at Bleacher Report and his website, Kegs and Eggs. Adam, always a pleasure to have you with us here. We'll have to touch base once these games are actually... Let's say it's not mid-June and when we're a little closer to some of these spreads becoming a reality.
Yeah, it is pretty degenerate packed, but really, what else is there to do?
Nothing.
So that sounds good. Thanks again, guys, as always.
All right, Dan, again, that is Adam Kramer, Bleacher Report, Kegs and Eggs. A lot of great insight there on betting lines, on meal power. That was weird at the end, but I like that. I like that weirdness.
That's who we are. And now I've done nothing but think about meal power rankings, breakfast. And I don't feel like I do breakfast for dinner nearly enough. I eat out way too much.
Yeah, me too.
And so the options are more limited unless you go to a diner type place. But listen, we're recording. It's 7:04 right now, 7:04 p.m. If I walked out the door, walked to the train, got on and then off the train by my apartment, and there was a place selling breakfast burritos,
yeah,
I might do a double take and that sounds fantastic right now. Do you do brunch?
I'll do brunch, yeah.
You have a girlfriend. It tends to skew more towards females taking out,
I think so. See, I'm not much for breakfast on my own.
How's your metabolism?
So far, so good.
If you don't eat first thing in the morning, that can get screwy with your metabolism.
I try to.
I've wanted one thing and one thing only for our listeners, and that's to eat a healthy breakfast. That's all I want.
We're thoughtful, and that's what we do.
So what do you have for breakfast usually?
If I eat breakfast, it'll usually be like something of the oatmeal variety. I try to keep it healthy. Sometimes eggs, but mostly oatmeal.
Sometimes you fiber up early on.
I was turned on to Greek yogurt fairly recently. I've been a big fan of that.
A scam.
So you fear the Greeks even when they bring yogurt.
And do you find it to be good?
I enjoy it, but
are you having the same effects that Jamie Lee Curtis is having?
I'm not with the Activia. No. No.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be the Activia. I'm just saying in general, does yogurt have that effect on you?
It hasn't yet, no.
Interesting.
And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Would you be more or less likely to have yogurt if you found that to be the case with your system?
I think I'm okay right now. But
way more likely.
Yeah. It is important to have that sort of timing mechanism in one's
move
body.
It along.
If I needed to for that circumstance, Greek yogurt or any yogurt is something I'd consider.
You do anything fun over the weekend?
I didn't actually. I'm dealing with these rain. It's still raining here. We've been doing this show for
It was nice over the weekend.
It was nice over the weekend. No, I'm slowly plotting, slowly and quietly plotting some way to sneak into the U.S. Open. It's down in Philly, and I want to try and go on Friday.
Without
paying $500. You do?
I know media that are there, but they have no way to get you in.
I need to find some way to sneak in there. But other than that, I've been reading a lot of college football, actually.
Can you get like a handicap pass?
I was thinking that, Dan. I've got a long list of ways that I could potentially get in, but I can't in good faith pull a Chris Ricks and use a hand. It is technically a handicap, but the sling's off now.
Right.
I would feel weird.
Oh, yeah,
about
you would
that.
Need the sling to really sell.
Yeah, I would
it.
Feel really weird about that. So I'm not going to spend $500, but I'm not going to act like I'm handicapped.
Is that how much it really is?
On StubHub, yeah. I mean, they're going to like $500.
Bet you could get in. Like a Thursday, Friday, a work day, I bet you could do better than that.
Well, I've never turned away from a good challenge, and there's no greater challenge right now in my life other than rehabilitating the stupid shoulder than trying to get into a major golf tournament. I've never been in a golf tournament, so I'm interested in going.
Neither have I.
And I'm interested in going just because it's so close.
I want to shout somebody out.
Please do.
I ran into a Verballer in New York at a barbecue event, of all places. Actually, kind of makes sense. Quinn.
What up, Quinn?
So cool to run into a Verballer. That's all I wanted to do.
Quinn.
Texas A&M fan, lives here in New York.
Right.
Season ticket holder. You ever done that, Ty? You ever held season tickets to a team that you were nowhere near that town?
Nope.
It's an investment. But that was a good time.
Hello, Quinn.
That's all
Thanks
I got.
For listening. We appreciate your download.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fun show tonight. Adam Kramer, again, Bleacher Report, Kegs and Eggs. Appreciate him stopping by. We should invite him on. Actually, I was thinking about this. There are a lot of smart people like Adam Kramer out there.
Right.
And we should invite some of these people to send us their locks every week.
That'd be fun. A lock round table?
Sort of a lock round table. Just one game, one or two games like we do. I don't want to pick every game, and that's just too much work. But one game from all these notable names, and we'll see who does the best at the end of the year.
I was about to suggest, when you started saying, you know, we should have Adam Kramer on more in some sort of new role, and I totally agree because I thought he was fantastic. I was going to say we should have a food show roundtable.
Could do that.
With the people that we've had on the most that talk about food. And then I realized every show has slowly turned into a food.
I can host the food roundtable. I would probably be a poor guest. I could host and distribute the questions on the food roundtable.
Well, I know our pal Andy Stable is going to be in town in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Obviously, we have Adam. I'm not positive that Spencer Hall deserves a seat just because of his anti-cheese stance.
Right.
But I've been having less and less cheese, so who knows? Our friend Celebrity Hot Tub revealing that his late night drunk food is chocolate milk and animal crackers.
Wow. Wow. Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk and animal crackers.
Whew.
When was the last time you bought chocolate milk?
I don't know if I've ever bought chocolate milk.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll buy chocolate almond milk. I do enjoy the
almond milk.
I
mean, can I count when I was six and walking through the line at elementary school?
What about animal crackers?
No.
Like the red box with the little handle?
No.
They're pretty good.
They're good, but I have no reason to buy them.
If I were at a bar and instead of like the beer nuts or pretzels, there were a bowl of animal crackers.
Right.
That's a bar I would tell people about.
Like, hey, have you tried the animal crackers at ...
Not have you tried the animal crackers. Like, you know what's a good place? Steve's Pub. Like, why is it's just a regular old bar? but they have bowls of animal crackers.
They serve Bud Light Lime, but the animal crackers are to die for. On that note, big thanks again to Adam Kramer, Bleacher Report, Kegs and Eggs. We'll have him back sometime in the very near future. In the meantime, we will be back in a few days in the very near future on Wednesday to discuss more college football with you. For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein in New York City, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt here in rainy Allentown, Pennsylvania. Thanks again for tuning in. Stay dry, and by all means, stay solid.
Peace.